If I can have your attention, we'll go ahead and get started here in the Media Center, Daytona International Speedway, with the first of three availabilities this weekend with our manufacturers and team owners to preview the Daytona 500 and the 2019 season. Sitting from left to right here, we're joined by Jim Campbell, the U.S. Vice President of Performance Vehicles and Motorsports for Chevrolet, Mr. Richard Childress, Richard Childress Racing, Rick Hendrick, Hendrick Motorsports, Chip Ganassi with Chip Ganassi Racing, and Richard Petty, Richard Petty Motorsports. Jim, let's start with you. Talk to us about what Chevrolet has happening in 2019.
Well, it's going to be an exciting year, both on the track and in our showrooms. In our showrooms, we're introducing a host of new products, including our new 2019 Silverado. You'll see them all over our displays here at Daytona. New Blazer is back, doing really well. It's a big year for our company in the showroom and then on the track. We got our racing started here a few weeks ago at the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, where we raced the Corvettes in the GTLM category, and then our sister brand Cadillac ran and won overall. But for Chevrolet, really excited to start here with the NASCAR season. Last weekend, very exciting with the qualifying effort with Chase and Alex locking up the front row. And last weekend, the first five positions showing really good individual car speed. So really looking forward to the year. Great things happening with NASCAR. We're working very closely as part of the NASCAR OEM Council on kind of marketing fan experience as well as the competition side. So we're looking forward to the year, and it's a real honor to be racing with Richard and Rick, Chip, and Richard Petty. Three Hall of Famers for NASCAR, and Chip obviously has won every big race in every category. So real honored to be here with them and with you all.
Thanks, Jim. Richard, you were in here yesterday talking a little bit about 50 years of Richard Childress Racing. Can you talk a little bit about how your relationship with Chevrolet over the years has been such an instrumental part of your success?
Well, I was racing Chevys way before 69, but I ran a 69 Camaro here in Daytona 50 years ago. It's been a great ride. We wouldn't be where we are today, RCR wouldn't be there, without General Motors and all the support from Chevy, engineering, all the help that they've got. I think we had the very first engineer, which was Alba, back in the 80s, I think it was. So they've been really great for RCR, and they've been great for the sport. You know, when you get a manufacturer like GM behind the sport, and we've won so many championships over the years, all of us have, it's just been a great honor.
Yes, sir. Rick, can you talk a little bit about how you and your team, your organization, work with Chevrolet to prepare for a racing season?
Yeah, again, I congratulate Richard on 50 years. That's quite an accomplishment, man. Since the beginning with Chevrolet, I mean, I started with Harry Hyde, and we had basically nothing. And the engineering and the support from Chevrolet has been remarkable over the years. They've been there. That's all I've ever raced. And to me, to get to see the products that come to the track early, like the Camaros and the new Silverado, and to race the cars that we're going to sell, it's been really cool for me. But my relationship with Chevrolet goes back to my first deal in 1976. I remember the first two blocks they gave me. and I thought that was a big deal. I got one set of sheet metal and two blocks. But it's been a great ride. And I think the thing about the bow tie in my life has been it's always stood for performance, whether it's the Corvettes or the Camaros, drag racing, oval track racing, road racing. And that's been the kind of the heritage. And I've just been lucky to be a part of it all of my life.
Thank you. Chip, heading into the 2019 season with two very talented drivers, Kyle Larson and Kurt Busch, can you talk about your expectations for this season?
Thank you. First I want to congratulate Richard Childress on 50 years of racing. I just got to 25 and I thought it was a hell of a lot. And I got a long way to go, I guess. And I got a long way to go to catch these three guys that are sitting up here with me in terms of their their history in the sport, I can tell you. I got to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. I got to pinch myself sometimes. I'm sitting up here on the dais with these people, all because of General Motors, and their history in the sport. Yeah, I won some championships with them in IndyCar racing, but I got a little ways to go here yet, and so I'm honored to be just even to be accepted by these other three team owners up here as part of the group, and obviously with General Motors with their tradition and history in motorsports, just to be a part of that is something that I was a kid I would only dream of, and so having said that, I look forward to 2019 with Kyle and Kurt. And my expectation is to have two cars in Miami and still running for the championship.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Petty, you've been around the sport for quite a while. Can you talk a little bit about the landscape of NASCAR today and your thoughts heading into the 2019 season?
You know, it's really hard to tell. The Daytona race basically is a continuation of last year. We go to Atlanta. We got a whole new set of rules, whole new way of inspection and all this stuff. So it's going to be a pretty exciting deal to get started with. And like I say, I've been here a long time, seen a lot of changes. And some of them are good, some of them are bad. The whole deal is trying to put it all together, not only for everybody involved. Okay, this is, when you get everybody involved, that means, the fans, the news, the workers, the owners, all this kind of stuff, get them all on the same page. And NASCAR is doing everything they can, I think, and the drivers and the owners are doing everything they can to kind of, go to the next level with our racing. And starting the season next week in Atlanta, basically, is going to be an exciting deal. So I think everybody's looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to staying and doing our deal with the Chevrolet deals. They've been real good to us as far as, working with Richard Childress and working with Chevrolet. It's been a big plus for Richard Petty Motorsports. And we got a new driver with our driver, so he's going to, Bubba's got a lot to learn. He's been to all the tracks last year, so we're looking forward to a lot better things this year.
Thank you, gentlemen. We got time for a few questions from media. If you'll raise your hand, we'll get a mic to you. We'll start up front here with Holly and then work our way towards the middle there in the back.
Good morning. Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. And really, any of you could answer this, but it feels like that there's a little bit more of the manufacturers all sticking together in the races, maybe more so than I can remember in some recent seasons. Certainly, the Chevys all getting together, the Toyotas or the Fords. Could you just kind of talk about that and what that strategy may be, especially for at Daytona?
Yeah, maybe I'll just start. Clearly at a race like this, working together where you can makes a lot of sense. That's what we're doing. All things being equal, with the Chevy drivers, work with the Chevy drivers, particularly in the draft. With that said, race car drivers, it's very situational, and so they got to read the track, they got to read the competitors, and I think that in the end, the drivers have got to really make those decisions on what they're going to do in the situation. I got all these folks have driven race cars and they manage successful teams, and we have to do both. We have to be working together when it makes sense. And then we also have to recognize it's situational for the drivers. One thing I think, last weekend, last night, number of cars on the track, we never really got a lower line going. I think in the race we'll have a chance to do that. And so I think that's going to be an opportunity for our drivers to work together, but also being really, really sensitive to what's the situation and how do they get to the front.
We'll go back here to the middle to Dustin, and then we'll come over here to Mark.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. I just asked this for Rick and Chip. As the sport has looked to contain cost for teams and help teams out, are there particular areas that shouldn't be regulated that teams still should be able to allow to spend whatever they want? And if there was something like a for lack of a better term, a cap of something like 10 to 12 million per team car. Is that something that's reasonable for you guys?
You want me to take go first?
Big boy.
Thank you. well, you know, I think racers are—they're going to spend whatever they got to spend to get the job done, and I think NASCAR has done a good job of trying to hold costs down. And I mean, it's a lot of work going on with our CFOs, not just the Chevy teams, but all of the team owners and presidents are working together to look at what we're spending and how we can do it for less. And I think in the future you're going to see other things happen with the cars and engine packages that's going to reduce the cost. And so NASCAR is really on it. And when you look at it, we talk about a spending cap. I don't know how you regulate that with all we have going on. I mean, but I think everything's on the table, and I think they've done a great job of. We are in constant communication. There's nothing going on with NASCAR that teams don't know about. Nothing going on with the teams that NASCAR doesn't know about. So we're working hard on it. So I think we're making progress, don't you, Richard? I think it'll continue to get better.
We'll go to Mark and then Nate, then Lewis.
Mark Garrell, PRN. This is for all the car owners there at the table. NASCAR's rule now that, you know, if you're caught with something after the race, number one, it's going to be good that we know exactly who the winner is Sunday and not have something pop up on a Tuesday or Wednesday. But how do you deal with that? And do you agree with, you know, this now very clear-cut line, if you're caught with something after the race, there's no such thing as an encumbered win or any foolishness like that?
You know, I think it's good. I think what they're doing, if they'll stick to it, it's going to be better for all of us. You know, racers are competitive, and they're going to do everything they can to get the advantage. But if you know going in that you're going to get your hand slapped if you win the race, you're going to be a little more careful how you do it. We got hit on the first round. We lost two of our we lost a car chief in the 13 lost one. So we had a meeting after that, and I got everybody's attention, I hope.
Yeah, I think, you know, I look at it like, you know, we heard so much about, I'm going to make the connection here in a second, but, you know, we heard so much about them improving the facilities here at Daytona, you know, because the people up in those grandstands are, you know, they want the same amenities that they have in an NFL game or in Major League Baseball. And so I think kind of concurrent with that, they don't want all this murkiness in trying to understand what happens when a race is over, if a guy made it, he didn't, blah, blah, blah. They want to have they want to have more rules that are of today and that are comparable to other sports. And that those are our competitors, are the NFL and Major League Baseball and, you know, the major sports. If we're a major sport, we have to govern like one, and we need to react like one to certain issues.
Let's go to Nate, over to Lewis, and then to Martin.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Whoever wants to take this, great, maybe King, because he hasn't said anything yet. How do you feel like the quality of the racing has been like so far during speed weeks? And has NASCAR given you guys any indication that they might make a change for Sunday?
I haven't seen a whole lot of difference this year than any of the rest of the years. I think they're a little bit closer on inspection. Like I said, they done caught three or four of us doing things. And but other than that, again, this year, the rules down here are pretty much what they were last year. They're just tightening up on the rules. Other than that, I don't see a lot of changes.
Do you think the racing's been good so far?
No, I don't.
The biggest thing is, you know, we haven't seen full fields out there. You get 40 cars out there, you're going to see a different race.
Instead of seeing one lane, you're going to see two lanes. So it's going to be a lot different when the race starts.
You're trying to save your primary car. And remember, this is the last race for this car. So we go to Talladega, it's going to be different.
We'll go over here to the left to Lewis Frank.
Yes, for Rick, over here on your right. Your left, excuse me. Lewis Frank of Reuters. Just like the Federal Open Market Committee is data-driven, NASCAR is becoming data-driven. As someone who's involved in a lot of business, how do you balance gathering data with having personnel and travel? How do you balance the two?
Well, you know, it's you're forced to use the data, and some of the teams had the data before others did, and some of the organizations had them before others did. But it's good information, especially for a young driver, to be able to see throttle traces, braking, wheel angles, all the things that you can capture. But, you know, it still comes down to the talent in the seat and someone calling the race and getting on and off pit road, no mistakes. But we're in a data-driven society. I mean, the way we go to market, the internet has changed the world, the way people shop. And I think it's only natural that it kind of works its way into our sport.
We'll go back over here to the right to Martin and then to Greg.
Richard, 40 years ago, you won this race, I guess, on the last lap. I mean, snowbound country, flag-to-flag coverage on TV. And yet everyone remembers the fight between Cale and Bobby and Donnie. How important do you think that was to NASCAR history, and what did you make of the deal?
It was one of the high points of NASCAR. It put NASCAR on the nationwide map. Okay. Even though, Winston had come in 71, I guess, and they started taking NASCAR all over the country, and we had tracks all over the country. But in 79, you know, they had the great snowstorm. They went with three TV stations at that particular time. And if he's going to watch TV, then the racing was probably what people were watching. And then, the people that heard about racing and stuff, they knew it was like a Southern sport deal. You come down to the last lap and you see the rednecks come out in the racing part of it. So I think that was it probably could not have played. It was a perfect storm the way it wound up with the weather, the way the race ended. And then, I think that was my sixth win. So, you know what I mean? And so one of their heroes won. I hope there was heroes anyway. But, you had everything that you could put into a program, you had it that day. So I think being flag to flag, green flag and stuff, it couldn't have been a better off footstep for NASCAR at that particular time.
We'll go to Greg Engel and then finish up with Al Pierce.
Hi guys. Greg Engel, Auto Week. I have one for Jim and then a quick follow-up for Mr. Hendrick. The automotive market obviously shifted to SUVs. We're going away from sedans. How hard is it to keep motorsports relevant in the marketplace to help sell these vehicles? Because ultimately, that's what you want to do. As the challenge goes, as we're shifting to SUVs, how hard is it to keep motorsports relevant?
Well, for us as a company, literally over 100 years old, motorsports has been part of what we've done. Louis Chevrolet, the co-founder of Chevrolet, him and his brothers raced at Indy. And that began kind of this tradition of performance and racing. And all the changes in the auto industry, racing has been a constant for our company in one form or another. So I expect that we will find a way to continue to make it relevant. I mean, for sure, propulsion technologies, the lessons you learn on aerodynamics, downforce, drag, all of the ways we prepare our cars are relevant for what we do for our showroom vehicles. And Camaro, we've got Camaro. We're still selling the Camaro in the showrooms. selling the Camaro ZL1 in the showroom, racing on the track, the SS in the showroom, racing on the track in Xfinity, and so on. So and we race. I mentioned we were here for the Rolex Corvette. We sell it in the showroom, and we're racing on the track. So I think it's really going to be what we've done over the past 100 years. We got to continue to adapt and continue to link what we're doing in the showroom with what we're doing on the track, both from a vehicle, but also from a technology and propulsion technologies and the way we prepare both sides of our business, racing and the production side. So we love racing. We've got great alignment in our company around it. And we've got great partners, as demonstrated here today, as well as drivers.
Thank you. Mr. Hendrick, from the dealership side of it, obviously you deal with more than just Chevrolet, so you can kind of get the bigger picture. Are people, do you see the sedans going away and more people buying SUVs? Is that because people want that, or is it because the market says that's what's going on, if you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you for us, you know, we sell a lot of Corvettes and a lot of Camaros, but you see the crossovers are a big, I mean, you see the numbers. That's a big part of our business. And that's true across the board. That's Highlines, everybody. And so there's still performance sedan business with some of the makes, and they're still building 600, 700, 800 horsepower cars. And a lot of those cars are halo cars. Like for us, the Corvette, the 750 is a halo car, and it brings people in the showroom that buy trucks and buy crossovers too. So we need that. And, I mean, there's so much of a buzz about the new Chevrolet mid-engine Corvette. We've got probably could take hundreds of orders, but we don't know how many we'll get. And so, I mean, the bottom line is, I think a lot of the soccer moms are going to SUVs, and then their husbands are driving them too. But we still have that performance end of it. When you see all these pickup trucks that come to the race or SUVs, they're either Chevrolet fans, Ford fans, Toyota fans, and the manufacturers see that.
Just one quick follow-up. Last year, our company sold, first company to sell, you know, kind of over a million crossovers, either small crossovers or mid crossovers or SUVs. And so we're definitely investing in that, but we still have, you know, core, you know, I'll call them passenger car, sports car models that are in our lineup. But it's exciting. We've got to do both. You've got to transition. And the buyers are really, you know, looking for, you know, a little bit more functionality but great fuel economy as well. So we're able to do that both on the car side in a targeted way, but also on the crossover, small and mid crossovers and SUVs.
Well, final question from Al Pierce.
Yeah, Al Pierce from AutoWeek. Richard, for you, you have admitted openly, as you should have, that you lucked into the 79 win. All right? Have you ever sat down and thought, okay, that makes up for enlisted five or six that you'd lost like that, and it kind of evens out a little bit?
Yeah, it all evens out. We're fortunate enough to win seven of these, and probably four of them we probably should have won. Circumstances probably cost me three or four races, but then circumstances gave me three or four races. So in the long haul, it kind of evened itself out. So you lose one, you come back next week and say, okay, I'm not going to make that one up, but we're going to win this one. And so far, it's worked out pretty good for us.
Before we finish up, Jim.
Yeah, I just first of all, thanks for having us here and talking Chevy and NASCAR racing. I want to introduce a few of the folks that run our programs. Mark Kent's over here; he's our director of racing for Chevrolet, works with Cadillac and our Holden team in Australia and all things racing. Pat Suey is here. Raise your hand there, Pat, if you would. He leads all of our NASCAR programs, Cup, Xfinity, Truck, and where's Adam? Adam in the back is our Cup manager, NASCAR program manager for the Cup Series. So as the season progresses, you'll see these guys around the garage. You're welcome to grab them, ask them questions, and we'll make sure we get them into the media center as we progress through the season. And Adam's newer to our team. This is his second season, and so it's great to have him on here. Comes with a aero background, which is great. Also, just to close up here for a second, you think about the team owners here. Chip won the Daytona 500 with Jamie in 2010. Richard Petty, seven Daytona 500 wins, including that 79 Monte Carlo, which is right out here outside the media center. We were just looking at it. It's amazing, and he won the championship that year as well. Rick Hendrick, they've won this race 8 times. And by the way, the 99 Chevy that Jeff Gordon won in is out there as well, which is great. And then Richard, you guys won it 3 times, and obviously last year with Austin. So it was great to have a Chevy Camaro ZL1 in Winner's Circle. Congratulations on that. You guys are defending champions, and we're looking forward. As obviously recognizing a great history, but what I love about these team owners, they recognize the history, but they are immediately focused on the future. What are we going to do next to win? And that's what I love about racing with these guys. It's great to be with you, and we'll see you on the track.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Good luck in the Daytona 500.